Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard. Let's go, North America. Happy Thursday to you. The DA Show comes to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. From Abilene to Maybelline, Bay Shore to Mount Rushmore, Kalamazoo to Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
This is Mraz, Andrew Bogish by my side, DA, a little vacation for him, couple days off like last Friday, except this time a little time spent with his wife, Rosie the cat, having a little extended 4th of July weekend, as some of you, I'm sure, a little different 4th of July weekend than past years, probably more staying put, but whatever you do, stay safe, wear a mask, have a good time, thanks for taking the DA Show with you. It'll be Bogish and myself today and tomorrow morning, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, obviously 3 to 7 a.m. Pacific. We have plenty to get to on the show today. Is the MLS bubble already burst? The MLB is still doing their Field of Dreams. Badlands Booker, yes, our favorite Badlands Booker, is ready to eat once again in the Nathan's 4th of July hot dog eating contest. It will be a virtual contest done in their own homes, and we all remember how Badlands Booker fared in the last quarantine challenge. It was not good. We have to ask him some pressing questions. If you need a waiver to go to an NFL game, would you go and why go? And also, the NHL stiff arms the U.S. of A. and heads to Canada. Are they best up to succeed and actually finish their season? Plenty to get to. Bogish, good morning. How are you?
Shawnee, I'm very good. I don't want to start off on questioning your knowledge of things, but did you make up a place called Maybelline in your open this morning?
I know Maybelline is a company, some kind of makeup company, and I figure they must have a plant somewhere. And in that plant, I would assume they have the radio.com app or some kind of smart speaker, and it's pumping out the DA Show.
Okay, that's one way to look at it, and away we go.
And away we go on this Thursday. And before we get into the crux of everything, I do have to say, Bogish, there was, I would say, a 50-50 shot as of 5 hours ago you were going to be doing this show solo today, because we made the joke last week about DA living up in the sticks of upstate New York. You and I live, I would say, about 25 to 30 minutes away along the south shore end of Long Island. Pete, almost like a triangle with us, also lives on Long Island. And I don't know about you guys, but around 11 p.m. last night, where I am, Suffolk County, Long Island, I got a thunderstorm like I have not seen in years. It felt like the movie Twister over here. Did you guys get this?
No, as far as I know, I didn't. Nothing woke me up. Nothing seems overly wet outside my house this morning, so no, I don't think so.
Oh, this was unbelievable. And in the midst of it, you know, the baby starts crying, the dogs go nuts, and the loudest booms of thunder, the lightning, and we hear a little water. And I have a finished basement in the house I bought where I do this show in the corner near a basement door. It's where my internet is and everything. Eli is famous for urinating in here. We all know understand the situation. But we have a water table issue in my town. And
yeah.
Oh, the basement, boy, the water started coming in. My wife pointed me in that direction. I had to come in. I have used every single bath towel I have. I had to get the wet vac out. The water, I kid you not, Bogish, came at one point within 3 inches of the outlet in which my box and internet are plugged into to connect to the show. I basically had to unplug and get everything to save the equipment. The water has since receded. It smells basically like a dirty sea in here where I'm doing the show. And I have used every bath towel that's now hanging outside. I have a dehumidifier going, but I had a major basement flood issue, and the old home studio here was almost wrecked. There was a chance maybe I was going to miss this show today and end up with Petey Boy tomorrow. But I was just curious if you guys had to deal with this, but apparently not.
No, it's been, and I'm kind of a weather nerd all of a sudden because I have a similar issue. Now, I don't know where your water was actually coming from outside the house, like through the door. Some people have issues like it comes up from the ground, basically.
It was both. It was coming through the door and like almost like raising up through the tiles that are over here.
Yeah, so I have a foundation issue where if I get a lot of rain, and I still haven't figured out the entire pattern, but the simplest thing for me is if I get a lot of rain, like over an inch in a small amount of time, I get like seepage through a little corner of my basement. And I can't figure out how to stop it. We've tried multiple different things inside, outside, and can't solve it 100%. So, like, I'm constantly, when there are storms in the area, like, paying attention to what's coming, how bad it's going to be, to figure out if I need to go down there and start, like, putting towels different places and whatever. So, yes, so this week here, basically in the entire Northeast, we've had this, like, weather pattern sitting over us and just spinning in circles and bringing random storms. But like since Monday, this has been happening, and I've been sitting here watching all of these crazy cells of weather completely miss my neighborhood. And sometimes by like minutes, like the town next to me got drenched yesterday afternoon, 5 minutes south of my house. We heard thunder, didn't get a drop of water, that's it. The other day, like Manhattan was just covered by rain and hail and lightning and thunder. And me and Peter, what, like 25 minutes east of that?
Nothing.
We've somehow, knock on wood, missed all this craziness, and unfortunately it found you apparently last night.
Oh, found me. But yeah, Bogus, be thankful, because now you get to hang with me for 4 hours and not deal with just you and Pete, which would have made for some Thursday show. Now
we would have called Connor, let's be honest. Connor would have been here, it would have been me and Connor, Pete would have been fuming that it wasn't me and Pete.
I would have left.
We would have had a terrific show because Connor is a star.
And I can already tell you that the show has gotten off to a clunky start without Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, because he handles our video stream every day, and we are not on Watch DA. But just to communicate with you, Bogus, I can't figure out what the heck I'm doing with video here to try to get a call to you and figure out what's going on. I've accepted you. So I'm flying blind. We're going to have to figure this out in a break as well. So a lot of
technical
stuff.
I can fix it for you real quick, I think, if you want.
Okay.
Look on the bottom of your screen where it says, like, presenting or in presentation.
Yeah,
take that off.
Okay. All right.
Because it tells me you're doing that, which means you have control of everything, which is why we can't see each other.
Gotcha. Okay.
That should maybe fix things if you want to see my face.
All right. Well, I still can't figure that out. So, nonetheless, we're gonna press on, and we'll do what we got to do. All right. Now, we should get the sports because people are listening going, what the heck are you guys talking about to start the show? The NFL yesterday, Bogus, before we queue up this cold open, cut the preseason to 2 games. And I don't know about you, but to me, this seemed like a no-brainer. This seemed like where we should be headed anyway, and it seemed like a smart move for the league. But this prompted panic and fury everywhere. Does this mean the NFL is not going to happen? Rodney Harrison spoke on this as well. It is where we begin. It's your cold open.
I'm sitting back last night talking to my wife, just sitting there thinking, like, how the heck are we going to even play football? If you think about the NFL and they say that the best interest of the players is to be safe, and you're doing everything to protect the players, I just don't know how you put the players back on the football field with this virus and not having a vaccine for it.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That's Rodney Harrison on Pro Football Talk joining the gloom and doom crowd as far as it comes to an NFL season getting off. And let me just start with this, Andrew Bogus. The NFL cutting its preseason down to 2 had to happen for multiple reasons. Number one, we're already in the midst of virtual mini camps, virtual learning. Unless you're Tom Brady or you're Cam Newton slinging it around with Mohamed Sanu, ultimately, teams are not gathered together, which means when they hit training camp, it is almost going to be like a crash course. And as if dealing with COVID and the opportunity for positive tests throughout the season, which are going to come, is not going to be hard enough, we forget that regular injuries happen during football season, and the more preseason games you put out there, the more likely it is You may have positive tests, but you're also going to have injuries. And the NFL, you know, knowing they already deal with a loss of star power, a loss of key players enough, needs to limit that as much as possible. And I think going down to two games obviously provides that. Now, some may argue that this will be the last time we've ever seen the NFL have four preseason games. Maybe this will paint the future of two preseason games. I would actually argue the opposite. I think the real thing here and what you're learning is the reason we have four preseason games is to make sure each owner, because they only get eight home dates as it is for season ticket holders, gets the extra two for preseason. And they know with no fans coming in for the preseason that really if they're not collecting on the gate, and they're dealing with, you know, NBA and NHL postseason on top of a fast-paced Major League Baseball season. Really, the NFL, which wins the ratings wars always, without the regular season, we could do without NFL preseason games on our TVs and without coming in for the revenue and paying for season tickets. So there's no money to be made by the NFL with the preseason. So that obviously had to happen. Now, what Rodney Harrison discusses, obviously the tackling and the sweating and the spitting and everything that goes with a football season questions how we could even have it. My counterpoint to this is always going to be, look, we have one or two options here. Either we shut everything down, including sports, and just wait for a vaccine and for medication for COVID, which a lot of people would be on board with. I would very much question how we could survive financially with that, but I understand you want to protect everybody at all costs. The other part of this, and you've heard Adam Silver say this, is we need to learn to live with the virus. The question is, do we really start cherry picking between sports what can be played with the virus and what can't? I mean, for everything Rodney Harrison said, and I understand there is more contact, you still have the NBA where guys are rubbing up on each other underneath the glass. So I don't know if there's a right answer there. But I do know for the NFL, for the NBA, for the NHL, for Major League Baseball, as much as that could help the mental health of a lot of people, they are a business too. And they have major TV deals to provide. And they are going to do everything they can to try to play these games and not try to reside on the fact that, hey, you know, we could sit out and wait for a vaccine. And the truth is, who knows if one's even effective? And who knows if everybody is going to want to run and get it right away anyway? So cutting the preseason to two games, I think, was more of just a no-brainer more than an ominous sign. Bogus, where do you stand?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. First of all, we should point out, too, that this is not necessarily all done just yet because the union, this is apparently is a significant enough change that the union has to, there's bargaining involved in this. The league just can't decide this, right. So the union's involved. And the players might not want to play any preseason games because fewer games theoretically means less exposure to the virus. So we may have zero, let alone two. But so let me start with by saying this. The preseason in general is just a scam. The entirety of regular season prices for your ticket, for your parking, the whole thing is a scam. There certainly is value in the football games and getting reps and deciding a couple of things at the bottom of your roster, but we don't need four preseason games to get people ready to play week one of the football season because no one plays four full preseason games anyway. We can see that by the way teams dole out playing time. They don't need four games to get everything checked off before we get to week one. But the specifics of this situation, I mean, I don't know how to look at it any differently than limiting exposure, limiting the chance of getting sick is the only way to go right now. And I understand all of the pushbacks in the other direction, and I know how many people, including us, whose jobs are connected to, you know, to sports and games happening. And I don't know what would happen to us if there's no football. We've knocked on wood. Our company has been fine to a certain extent, you know, all through this without anything happening just yet. I don't know what happens if we get to the fall and the cash cow of football isn't there. But, like, we also have to figure this out and fix it because one bad year, even one horrible year in my head, makes much more sense and is much more palatable than like two or three crappy years. Like, at some point, we need to get this out of our system, literally and figuratively. Like, your argument of, you know, living with the virus, like, there's a limit to that. Like, we can't live with it at its peak levels. Like, we can live with it in terms of someone somewhere might still get it, but then we have treatments for it, and people have had vaccines, and it takes time. Like, where it becomes a nuisance, but not an actual problem. We can't exist in the situation that's developing in certain places now where we're again taxing the entire healthcare system, that we have doctors and nurses, you know, working triple shifts and going home exhausted and in tears because all they're dealing with is people who are super, super sick. Like, it, we can't have that going as well. So
I agree with that.
Like, I know there are businesses and there's across the board, whether it's restaurants, movie theaters, sports, but like, at, like, sometimes things have to get sacrificed, so to speak, to fix the bigger problem. And I don't, you know, to me, that still needs to be our directive right now. Like, we don't need a football season. No, great, but we don't need one. We need to get the country healthy again. And however many football games we have to lose because of that, like, I'm not going to necessarily complain about it.
855-212-4227. That number again is 855-212-4CBS. So the NFL attempting to cut the preseason, as Bogus said, the union's supposed to get involved to two games. Is that an ominous sign that we are headed towards the idea of no football in the fall? I personally think the NFL will do everything it can to make sure it gets off. But to Bogus's greater point, there needs to be some kind of balance. And yes, would you rather just have the one worst year ever in exchange to make sure everything else is taken care of going forward? I think he brings up some good points. I don't know that there is a right answer right now, other than we need to protect people at all costs, including our NFL players. The only counterpoint I would make to that, Bogus, is, number one, I would say absolutely no fans under any circumstance. I know I read today that the Dolphins still think they can get some fans in there. And can everybody, with all due respect, and I know we're on a lot of good affiliates there, can everybody in Florida just sit one out for the next couple weeks? Please. I mean, because we dealt with, Bogus, as you know, really horrible situations in New York. And knock on wood, things are pretty good right now, all things considered. But I don't need to hear Florida sports owners and everybody in Florida pounding their chest right now as everything is in shutdown mode and those cases jump about fans coming in. So I don't think you could have fans come in. As far as the players go, you don't want to see any of them get sick, and you need to leave them all without. I think every player deserves that option not to play, even if the league plays. Just like I think every employee at a place of work that doesn't pay nearly as much as the NFL should also have some sort of option to not come back for fears of coronavirus as well, because everybody doesn't know everybody's life situation, at-home situation, vulnerable people in your life. So for those players that want to play who feel like they don't have anybody of that high risk around close to them, close enough in their life, great. I think we could have a league with that, and we figure it out, and I think you will have more than enough guys who want to come make their paycheck. I think, thankfully, and I, again, I hope, you know, I can knock on wood when I say this, I try to say this as delicately as possible, the sad numbers and death toll in this country have not been the athletes between 20 to 40. And I think ultimately, as horrible as the virus is, and I don't want anybody to get sick, I do think, Bogus, we want to protect death more than anything, right? I think we can agree with that. And if that, at least according to doctors and scientists, who obviously we should be following here, not your friend from high school who doesn't have a degree who's commenting on Facebook about masks, if they deem it and say, yeah, you know, we should have bubble plans, we should do this, we could play sports, that's who I'm going to follow the lead of and assume that the athletes, if they do get it, will ultimately be okay. At least you hope they're okay. And for me, I think that's a good sign that sports will happen.
Right, but I mean, even, and this is a bad term, but I can't think of another way to say it, like, we can't also just boil this down to death rates, because it's not
sure
that simple. And now, I also don't think that we can just say, like, oh, well, you know, if it's grandma and grandpa, like, well, you know, like, shrug your shoulders, like, that's not cool either.
No, but like, their lives happens, matter, yes, absolutely.
Right, a lot happens before you die with this virus, and we also don't know what's going to happen long term, because
sure,
as now we've had months to study it, now we see that it attacks different parts of your body. It can mess with your lungs, your heart, your liver. You know, like, it's not, and, you know, I've had friends who are in my age bracket who had it and are okay now, but it was terrible for them for
right,
a week or 2 weeks or a month. Like, I don't want that either. Like, I don't want, like, it's not like, oh, it's a cold, it's like, and some people lucky enough that they had it and didn't even know it. Like, there's an entire a range of symptoms and effects here that you can't just dismiss. Yes, as you know, we've gotten to this point now where every athlete that's gotten it, as far as we know, has not had the worst of this, has any, you know, real severe complications. No one's been in the hospital. No one's been on a ventilator. No one has died, thank goodness. But that doesn't mean that, you know, 3 years from now, something might be different inside their body, because
right,
again, this is doing a lot of different things than we knew it did weeks ago, months ago. So it's not as just simple as going, well, the death rate here is 0.002, because a lot can happen to mess up your life shy of the worst case scenario here too. So, you know, like, that's always been my pushback. Like, I don't want this, period. And plus, then if you bring it home, I've got two kids in the house. I've got my wife. Like, if, what if me and my wife are sick? What do I do with my kids then? Because do they then take whatever germs we have to my in-laws or my mom and my dad, who are clearly in the risk factor age groups? Like, there's a lot of things in play here that you can't just say, well, I'm not going to die because I'm 28 and healthy, so let me see what I'm going to, like, let me just risk it. It can't keep working like that either.
Very, very interesting situation for the NFL, and there's a lot of arguments on both sides, but they've took their first step towards less football, at least it's in the preseason. I won't miss it. I'm sure Bogus won't miss it if we cut this down to two. There's plenty of other stuff we can keep occupied on, but the NFL regular season, is it an ominous sign? Rodney Harrison has some real issues with that. The number again is 855-212-4227. All right, we come back. Speaking of Florida, the MLS, of all the American sports who had yet to get going, we've seen the NASCAR, we've seen golf, obviously. They were going to take center stage 2 weeks before baseball. But is their bubble already burst? It's Andrew Bogus. It's me, Mraz. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. It is Mraz and Bogus in for DA. It is the DA Show as we steamroll towards the 4th of July here in the year 2020, which who knows what the next day is going to bring. Bogus on Twitter at Andrew Bogus with a C thrown in there somewhere. You could find him. Me on Twitter at Mraz CBS. Bogus, we will get to in just a little bit. The bubble already bursting perhaps for the MLS. But first, let's get it cooking with your headlines to start the day.
Shawnee, these headlines are sponsored by just me today. On top of the NBA players' various health concerns about going down to Orlando to finish their season, there is still the ongoing debate of whether playing takes away from the players' involvement with these social justice movements around the country. Nuggets head coach Michael Malone says he thought a lot about that and now thinks they can do both.
That's the biggest thing that we emphasize, is we're trying to fight for lasting and sustainable change. And we can't allow the games beginning back again to take the light off the message and what's going on. Because this is the moment. This is unlike all the other years. We have to carry this through.
So finding the balance between working off the court and on the court is the key. Malone's team is also dealing with COVID issues. He confirms their facility has been closed since the weekend because of multiple tests within their travel party for Disney. The NBA, meanwhile, has told its coaches association that no coach will be kept from Disney based on age alone. Only coaches at a higher risk for these severe coronavirus complications, for whatever reason, could be prevented from working. We discussed this a couple weeks ago. There's a number of coaches who are 65 and older who, by definition, then are in that higher risk group, and we're worried that just their age would kind of disqualify them from Disney, but that is not the case, at least for right now. And the Lakers still don't know if Dwight Howard will join them in Florida because of personal reasons, but they will not replace him yet on their list for Florida. Now, a week before the NBA moves to Disney, we have the MLS. We'll get into this in more detail in just a second, but FC Dallas may have up to 10 positive tests now. That's 9 players and 1 coach. Their first game is a week from today. The NFL may or may not be cutting its preseason to 2 games. The league reportedly got things rolling yesterday, but this is a major change that requires bargaining with the players, and they haven't said yes yet. They might not want any preseason games this summer. There is no supplemental draft this year, and a COVID-19 liability waiver is apparently on the table at league headquarters. Fans would have to sign it before attending any games this fall. We discussed this earlier this week as well. MLB teams will not name names when it comes to positive tests during the season. We'll just have to connect the dots when a player is missing and no other reason is given. All we'll get from the league reportedly is the same info from others: number of tests done, number of positives, and the rate of positives. And apparently, Sean, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but you know, as we know, the relationship between MLB players and owners is not good in many different ways. And I guess even this is causing some issues because the secrecy of it or the privacy of it, which at face value is good, there are some players who think because the league will control this information, it could be used somewhat to their advantage. Like, you know, when do you tell people that they were positive and letting you think certain things about that somebody is sick or not sick? That so I, but my counter all that would be then just have the players go to the teams in the league and just go, you can say my name.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you can put it out there that I have it because we want 100% transparency. I don't know how much this is just unnecessary suspicions on the team's behalf, but players seem to think that owners and teams are would do almost anything in their best interests, and this is another one of them.
Well, the one thing I don't understand on this matter is, number one, can't the players just take to their own Twitter and admit they had coronavirus when it comes up?
Yes, absolutely. So, they could just say, listen, I have it. That's why I'm not there.
So I would assume if all those players that are that concerned about this, if they do contract coronavirus, would just do that. Number two, what do they think is the end game of owners and controlling this information? What, they're that the owners don't want them on the team? Like, I don't understand what would even be the negative to that. I understand that ultimately you want to control the narrative, but it's not as if there's a AAA affiliate they're going to ship you to and it's because of your play. So
no, some of it was almost like evil, not necessarily to the players, but like to protect the game too much. Like, let's say my positive test came in on a Wednesday, and that and let's just use Mike Trout as an example.
Okay.
Let's say if they smartly made a, you know, Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Phillies, Angel, and I know that can't happen this year the way the schedule is, but I'm just giving you an example. They have a prime matchup on Sunday Night Baseball, and at 5:30 on a Sunday, they're told that Mike Trout has coronavirus. Do they let Mike Trout play in that game because they want Mike Trout on TV and not have a, you know, a similar Rudy Gobert kind of thing where we had teams playing off the court? And then Monday morning, oh, by the way, Mike Trout had it, but Mike Trout just played a game around all of these different players. So,
you know,
like a lot of it, what I read yesterday seemed too far-fetched. So like the specifics of it didn't matter. What mattered to me was that the players still think that the owners are like evil villains. Okay. And we'll use almost any information to spin against them.
And I understand that we are in a day and age where seemingly all you need is a social media account to find somebody who is way overly cynical about almost everything with conspiracy theories and this, that, and the other. I have a hard time getting behind the fact that Major League Baseball, knowing all eyes are on them, knowing how critical this is, knowing we just went through everything to get a season, is going to fool around with this virus enough to hide a positive test from a player, allow them to play, and then tell them they're positive after, knowing that eventually at some point that info is going to get out there if a player is that frustrated or if other guys get sick, you end up shutting down a team. To me, the risk-reward, look, you can be cynical all you want with the Major League Baseball owners. That is very far-fetched for me to get behind and be fearful of.
Yeah, again, I don't think some of these specifics would ever actually happen. I mean, fingers crossed. I think it just kind of tells you how bad their relationship is.
Sure.
And then there's the whole like privacy thing, like, and this is probably one of the many reasons why I was not good at sports, because I liked having excuses for being bad and not showing up. Like, I've never fully understood the idea of like not announcing that you were hurt and or sick. Like, now, if you don't want to say, you know, because you think like someone's going to twist your sore knee, like that makes sense to me. But like, if I have a nagging injury and it's hurting my play, and people are calling us or calling WFAN or tweeting that I suck and they hate me and I should be traded, like, I'm picking up my phone and texting a reporter and going, by the way, like, I'm playing with a torn labrum. Let that get out. Like, so people give me some sympathy. Like, the supreme toughness of all of this has never made sense to me, because I would want someone to know why I wasn't around or not playing well, as opposed to just having the privacy of keeping it to myself.
I'm an overshare. Even when I'm sick at work, I text Bilotti or any of our bosses, and I basically got to share every detail with, you know, how many times I went to the bathroom in the middle of the night, just to, so everybody understands this is why I'm out sick. I'm the complete opposite, but
Normally, we get a lot of texts from you in the morning that began with, I'm on 3 hours of sleep. And normally it's because I had a double buffalo chicken wing pizza and I was up all night. Today it was my basement flooded.
Chocolate.
But normally it's, I didn't sleep that much because of my bowels. Which is a great thing to see at 5:30 in the morning.
Exactly. Hey, look, I just want to share.
You may have forgotten that Rick Pitino is back in college hoops. He's now the coach at Iona.
Good timing.
He said yesterday the season should start in January and consist of only conference games. UConn's Dan Hurley says he can't comprehend starting in November like usual. Utah defensive coordinator Morgan Scally admits to using a racial slur in a text 7 years ago. He was suspended June 5th when the text surfaced and he admitted to sending it. The school then launched an investigation. That investigation is now over, and Scally is not losing his job, but his salary gets cut from $1.1 million to $525,000, and he is no longer the coach in waiting. And the Ivy League says it'll announce its plan for fall sports next Wednesday. A report earlier this week said they could shorten the football season or move it altogether to the spring. Shawnee?
All right, Bogus, you just teased a little bit on the MLS situation where FC Dallas has had at least 6 players test positive. You're saying it could be upwards of 10. I am reading that every member of the traveling party besides those players has tested negative through an MLS-mandated testing service. So there are a couple things here. The MLS season is due to begin next Wednesday, July 8th. They are having sort of a World Cup-esque tournament, which I think is a good job of them. I think too often, I know DA sometimes could be a little nauseating with the soccer flag waving, hey, it's about to take over. He's very big into soccer, and I understand that, and I've gotten more into it during the pandemic. But I think the MLS has oftentimes missed the boat for me as far as capitalizing. To me, the MLS, when Major League Baseball hits that All-Star break week, should always be doing something special to get eyes on them and try to get casual fans in there. They never do. I think this idea, though, on American soil, where they could have this little tournament, it's a great idea. The problem is they went bubble, just like the NBA, just like the WNBA, just like the NHL will be doing. And they also went down to Florida. Now, I don't think I fully grasped or was aware of this, Bogus, that they are doing a bubble on Disney's campus, just like the NBA is.
Yeah.
So they have a separate hotel with 26 teams in there. I believe they're only using one Disney hotel. So, it was funny when the NBA came out, Bogus, with their 3 hotels and tiers of what teams get hotels. Does the MLS now get the 4th tier hotel that's going on
in the
NBA?
They are at the Swan. At least the FC Dallas is at the Swan and Dolphin, which I don't know anything about. I'm not sure how that stacks up with the other ones, but I mean, in the grand scheme of things, the MLS is not NBA, so I would think the NBA had its pick of where it would be keeping its people, and then MLS got whatever was left over.
Okay, so bottom line is this. In their hotel, they have already begun their bubble, and already before games have been played, we have positive tests on one team, 6, maybe 10. And I think this was the fear of, when I mentioned at the top of promotion, I sort of disagreed with the whole living with the virus and sports playing on and everything that goes with that. The fear isn't, hey, 1 or 2 players, even if their star players test positive, they're shut down for a couple weeks, we could press on. The fear is a whole team gets ravaged, like you're seeing here with FC Dallas. Then what do? Then you have to flat out cancel games. Then it becomes a competitive imbalance. Then the sport actually, when we talk about asterisk and all that other stuff, really takes into account. So if already before we're playing games, we're having entire teams go down within the bubble where they weren't testing positive prior to the bubble, I mean, what the heck, when we have everybody saying the bubble is the way to go, if we can't trust the bubble already, then how can we expect to finish seasons here, especially if you're the MLS, and what do you do? And now I will tie this into the NBA. I am not going to pretend to understand I get the armed guard situation around the NBA hotels and shuffling them between arenas, but Disney is still Disney. How is it that they will keep the MLS players away from the NBA players? And you could possibly do that. Also, by the way, while keeping parks open for regular people, it seems to me the MLS and NBA, because Florida, you know, 6 weeks ago as we did the story, really pumped up and said, hey, any sports teams, come here. Come train with us. They really went and sold themselves in Florida. Disney seemed like the perfect opportunity. It was great sponsorship for Disney. This seems like, to me, for the MLS, and I will tie in the NBA here, Disney is a colossal mistake right now. And I, if I'm the NBA, I'd be trying to scramble and rethink, although logistics probably would make that nearly impossible.
I think that ship has sailed. I can't imagine they could change course now.
And I agree with you. I can't imagine they should change course. But more so than the positive test, the actual where you're doing this would scare the heck out of me when I see what just happened with FC Dallas.
Yeah, and it's like, and you keep saying it, and it's true. Like, there's no right answer or wrong answer because we're all doing this on the fly because it's obviously never happened before. And this is all new from the science perspective, from the medical perspective, from the logistics perspective. So, like, I don't, you know, I guess in Disney's defense, like, I don't know that this would have been different really anywhere else. I mean, it just takes one wrong encounter, right? I mean, and as we've discussed, if you work at Disney, like, you're not staying in the bubble, like, you're leaving and then you're going right back in. And, you know, you pass in the hallway or say good morning or ask somebody, like, where the milk is in, like, the restaurant. And then I get the bug from you, and then I'm giving it to my teammate. And then relative all hell breaks loose. And it goes back to what we were saying in the last segment. Like, it's all – everything has different levels. Like, knock on wood, these 10 FC Dallas members may never, ever really get sick. But the problem from the sports perspective is – now, how long are they in isolation? How long are they quarantined? Can they miss a game? Do they not play again? And then what do you do? And, you know, from the very beginning, we've wondered, you know, how legitimate is winning a title in this situation? Like, well, how legitimate is it going to be if, like, a team doesn't show up or has to bail out before, like, their semifinal matchup? Or in the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA, what if this runs through the Bucks and they can't play. So now the Raptors are just by default in the NBA finals. Like, how does that work? And this is why it's on certain side, there's good news that people are not getting sicker and not dying, but people are still getting sick and still testing positive, still triggering isolation and quarantine and more testing, which will complicate things like this. So, I mean, this is exactly what you don't want, especially if we find out that, you know, players like went out somewhere where they shouldn't have, and that's how they got sick and brought this back. But, like, this is the dangers and all the gross underbelly of this entire situation. Nothing is perfect, and things can very easily get messed up.
855-212-4227. The number again is 855-212-4CBS. Boy, I'm sorry. There's a lot of people probably listening to the beginning of the show, Bogus, going, wow, real ominous start with the MLS, with the NFL canceling. I'm sorry. But we will have some fun next. I did a little mini radio tour earlier this week, I guess you would call it, Bogus. We played the clip of me on in Houston. I appeared on a station in Florida, and if you want to know how much we actually need sports to be talked about, you won't believe how many questions I was asked about my flag football team. We'll get into that next. This is the DA Show, Bogus and myself, Mraz, on CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
One of the most respected voices in sports television, James Brown.
Mr. DA, that is as big time an opening on the show with the musical composition and the voice as I have ever heard. That's awesome.
Oh, well, thanks very much, JB.
Did you have a hand with your gifts and talents? Give some significant input on that?
I'm a big 1970s soul and funk guy, and so I asked the production
team.
That
was clear. I love that.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. It's Mraz and Bogus. Let's wake up a little bit here on this Thursday morning. Bogus, earlier in the week, for some reason, people wanted to speak to me. I guess with Major League Baseball starting, I did a little radio tour, which probably nauseates the heck out of you and Pete, that a couple places requested me on the same day at a match.
How many places, to be exact?
I went on two places.
Two. Okay, I mean, that's barely a tour.
Well, but okay. I'm going to tout it as such just to pump up the segment a
little
bit.
We need a filler.
Yeah, we need a filler. Exactly. So one of our great affiliates, ironically, where listener Rob in the 321 listens, is down in Melbourne, Florida. The host of their afternoon show there is Mark Moser, who I've spoken to. He was on Radio Row at the Super Bowl. We met. Very nice guy. Does a good job down there. Is a do-it-all guy. One of these affiliates where he's a program director. He hosts and everything. So he has me on. We're going to do a little Major League Baseball talk. He wants to get my feelings on the restart, how goofy it could look. We had some fun. Bogish, he then turned, and I thought it would be a very quick, funny question to ask me about my flag football team, because that was kind of something that's been talked about on the DA show in the past. I answered the question. He proceeded to ask more questions. How many, Bogish, would you say is too many flag football questions for your audience to care about your guest answering down in Melbourne, right, Florida?
So I'm two, like one kind of funny one, like you play flag football, Algie Crumpler, and then there's a Mr. Six question always in my head, and then after that it's too many, so two at a max.
All right, well, let's play the game here, Bogish, and I will take you through question by question without my answers. How many was too many on flag football? All right, we get done talking about baseball. Question number one on flag football.
I had a listener go, can you ask him about his flag football team? So,
are you kidding me?
Hey, are you still playing or what happened?
So now I'm answering bubble questions about the flag football league in Long Island. All right, so I answer the question. You want to get a follow-up? Let's hear the follow-up.
You know what I love about adult flag football? It doesn't matter if it's competitive or just for fun or the co-ed. There's always one dude who goes for the tackle. It doesn't matter. He knows.
Oh, of course.
He knows.
All right, two questions down. Now we're talking about people getting a little aggressive with tackling. Surely we're going to move on. Let's do a little NBA next, Mark Moses.
Every game I've been in, some guy has to go for the tackle. He just has to do it. And there's always one team. You know, they were high school state champions. They're showing up. They have Michael Irving somehow at wide receiver. Why does this happen all the time, Sean? I don't get it.
Michael Irving at wide receiver. Yeah. I'm not familiar with that. All right, we're going to move on now, right, Pete?
That's three. My over.
Okay, we've hit the over, and I would say time to move. Would you say time to move on, Bogish?
I would think so, yeah.
All right, was it time to move on, Pete?
Oh, man. So you tell the family, hey, it's flag football day. I'll see you in a couple hours. Is that what happens?
Now we're asking what my family thinks of me playing flag football, but question number four? All right. We definitely now, Bogish, are going to move on. Right, Pete?
The thing I'll tell about flag football is, for all the armchair quarterbacks out there, and I think you can agree with me on this, is you always fantasize like, oh, man, I could play in the NFL. When you're playing flag football with full-grown male adults, someone picks the ball off, you're like, well, I can't catch him. He's going in the other direction. What am I going to do?
Am I on a podcast now, Bogish?
I mean, there's a lot of the thing about flag football. There's a lot of things about flag football. I think all of these questions have started that way. And at some point, he's going to ask you to stay through the break, right? Is that the next question here? Like, showing up at the break, can you hang to the other side?
I was thinking, mind you, this was a 15-minute spot. So, Pete, did he finally move on?
Wait a minute. So, can you blitz on any play, or how does it work?
Bogish went down to rules questions. He just got done four questions ago telling me when he plays flag football, everybody tackles. Now he's breaking down the rules? The sixth question.
He needs Francesa cornhole questions. All the details of the history of cornhole from Mike Francesa. That's on today's show.
Oh, and Pete, was that it?
So what position do you play?
Oh.
Seven?
Yes.
Seven questions.
Seven. And finally, I had to pull the ripcord and get out of there. And Mark Moses, I love him. I could joke around with him. I could not believe I was asked seven flag football questions in afternoon.
Seven.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I don't know if I was getting trolled or not.
Well, the funny thing is, a lot of the things he said and questions he asked, like, you're the answer to. Like, you're the guy that takes this too seriously. You're the guy that makes a tackle. You're the guy that thinks he's Rob Gronkowski at tight end. You're the one insulted that he's been shifted to center. You're the one that doesn't chase the guy on a pick six. You are the answer to most of his questions.
Yeah, well, he had some real fun with that. Boy, that question, everything. Is the MLB still doing Field of Dreams? What?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.